life. If you did not give a testimony, you might want to get up and leave now. I gave you a chance. Excuse me. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 12. Wherefore, it shall come to pass, if you hearken to these judgments, and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee, and bless thee, and multiply thee. And he will also bless the fruit of thy womb, and the fruit of thy corn, and thy wine, and thine oil, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep, and the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among thy cattle. Let's pray. Father, we ask you now to help us. We thank you for letting us sing, to lift our voice to give praise and honor to thee. But I pray now that in the preaching hour you give us the liberty and power to preach, speak to our hearts, encourage us, lift us up, prepare us for tomorrow. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to bring in a little message tonight called Blessed Over and Over and Over and Over and Over Again. Friday night, my wife and I and Samantha and the kids went over to First Baptist Church in Rock Hill. And they had a quartet over there at Hillcross and Point Voices. But they're just an excellent, excellent group. That fella has written some beautiful, beautiful songs. Other people sing more of his songs than they do. But he's written some great songs. And they put on a tremendous program. And they sang that song, His Love is Full of Grace and Glory. I preached the message on that title here just a month or so ago. It's a great song. I think it ought to stir your heart because God's love is full of grace and glory. Then later on in their program the other night, they sang a song, Redeemed. I almost never stand up and give a standing ovation, but I did the other night. That is just a tremendous song. And bless your heart. I mean, if you love God, I don't know how in the world you could listen to those boys sing that song and have it not stir you some. And so I enjoyed that. And then last night, I took the wife. And hadn't done it in a long time, but her and I just took off and went to Greenville, South Carolina. And big singing down there, and heard the McCameys and the Inspirations and the Rex Neeland Singers and the Roy Knight Singers. Went out and had a big old steak, splurged on her, you know, spent my whole allowance and everything. And let her have the baked potatoes, all the carbohydrates she wanted the other night, boy. I just had a good time fellowship. My life was a blessing. But the other night, the singing, they sang a song, and while they were singing it, that thing just struck me. It wasn't a particularly profound song. I mean, it's a great song, and I appreciate the message, but it wasn't a particularly stirring thing, except there's a line in it that said, God blessed me over and over and over again. And boy, when they said that, it was just like an arrow hit my heart. And I thought, they could have wrote that for me. The thing is, I ought to be able to say, they wrote that for you. Because in the 27 years I've been saved, God has blessed over and over and over and over again. Time would fail to recount all the times God has come through when nobody else could. The times that God has come through and blessed when the last thing on this earth I deserved or expected was a blessing. In the darkest hour I've ever faced, God came through and blessed. I can't think of a time, I can't think of a situation in all the years that I've been saved that when a blessing was needed, God failed to give one. He never fails. He always comes through on time. And so the other night when they sang that song, I always carry a pencil, a piece of paper to sing it, because you never know when you're going to get an idea. And so I jerked out my pen right quick and I wrote down these six things. There's nothing profoundly theological in tonight's message. And I'm not at all sure that all the points will fit all the people here. If for or by some chance I preach a point that is not an exact fit for your life, feel free to preach to yourself tonight and substitute something that'll be a blessing to you. I'm going to share with you the things that have been a blessing to me since I got saved. I don't know what God's done to bless your heart. I don't know all the circumstances of your life. I don't know how close you've been to God. I don't know what He means to you. I don't know how dark a night you have faced. I don't know how many times God has come walking on the water for you. I don't know how many times God has calmed the storm in your life. But I know about mine. And so tonight, it's more of a testimony than it is a message. But I want to give you these six things where God has blessed in my life. And I guarantee you that as I preach, you feel free to search your own mind and remember the times and the places where God's blessed you. You do that. You remember where God's blessed. You remember where God has come through for you. And we'll have us a real meeting tonight. Amen? Don't you worry so much about what I'm saying. Feel free to wonder tonight. You do anyway. But you have my permission tonight to just drift off into Never Never Land and recount those times and those experiences when God Almighty did something really special in your life. Now, the passage we read, of course, applies historically and all to the nation of Israel. And God has said, He made them some promises. He said, I'm going to give you these commandments and these statutes and these judgments. And if you'll keep them, if you'll obey them, then I'll bless. And He promised to bless, not just spiritually, but in verse 13 there, He promised to bless the fruit of their womb, that's their children. Boy, do I need a blessing on our children. Amen. And then He promised to bless their crops, that was their income. And their cattle, that's their income. That's their physical, material substance. You see, a lot of times, us independent, fundamental, premillennial doohickeys, we want God to bless spiritually. We want a feeling or an emotion. And that's great, and thank God for it. But the truth is, God gives those, but God blesses materially just as well. Amen. And so, God promised Israel that if they'd live for Him, He'd bless. And I just want to mention some things tonight where God is blessed. That's been a blessing to me. Number one, God blessed 27 years ago with salvation. I haven't got over that. I don't know what kind of sinner you were. I don't know how wicked you perceived yourself to be. But I know who I was. I know where I've been, and I know what I have done. And to think that Almighty God would condescend to come and lower Himself and humble Himself to dwell in my heart is a thought that I have never been able to get over. March the 4th, 1972, Lot 15, Briarwood Trailer Park, 11:25 p.m. I bowed my head at the kitchen table and William R. Pace took an old Schofield Bible and led me to Christ. I bowed my head and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I bowed my head with a broken heart, shaking hands and tears in my eyes. And I prayed, and when I raised my head, I had the peace of God in my heart. I don't know where it came from. I can't explain it. But I know it was there. There was something different in the air when I raised my head. There was a different feeling in my heart. There was a different song on my lips. And from that day to this, I have not been the same. I thank God for the blessing of salvation. It's a real... You say, why is salvation a blessing? Because I know where I'm going when I die. Now, you worry about it if you want to. You can fret and hope and all that. You're looking at a sinner that's saved by grace that knows that he knows that he knows he has passed from death unto life, and that one of these days I'm going to leave this old world, and by the grace and goodness of God Almighty, I will spend eternity in heaven in the realms of glory, and I will never see the dark side of hell. I will never hear the screams of the damned. I will never be out of fellowship
fellowship with my Lord. I will never walk far apart from Him. One of these days, this old sinner redeemed by grace is going home to glory. I'm telling you, salvation is a blessing. It's made me feel good down inside. It's given me a reason to live and purpose and direction. It's given me something to preach for and live for. I'm telling you, salvation is a blessing from God Almighty. I wouldn't trade it for anything on this planet. I love my wife, but I wouldn't trade my salvation. Next to that, I love golf, and I wouldn't trade that either. I'm telling you, I love to preach, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But I wouldn't trade anything for the blessing of knowing I'm saved by God's grace. Greatest thing that ever happened to this old sinner. Greatest thing that ever happened. It's been exciting. It's been fun. It's been weird. It's been hard. It's been trying. It's been up and it's been down. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's the greatest thing that ever happened. Not every day of salvation is living on the mountaintop. Not every day of being saved is shouting the victory. There's some storms and there's some hard times. But boy, I'm telling you, that unlike when I was lost, now I've got somebody to go with me. I got somebody to hold my hand. Got somebody to encourage. Got somebody to lead, guide, and direct. Got somebody that cares. Somebody that'll make sure I get through and come out on the right place on the other side. Salvation is a blessing. God blessed with salvation. And y'all have heard this a million times, but you're going to have to hear it just one more. I may die tonight and you never have to hear it again, but of course if I live, you're going to hear it, say, but God blessed me with a godly wife. I cannot overestimate, and I certainly cannot overstate the value of a godly wife in trying to serve God. Next to being saved and having the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit, the greatest blessing God ever gave me sits on the second pew of this building tonight. She's a helpmate. Boy, I'm telling you, I've known preachers whose wives are not interested in the ministry. I could name some. Matter of fact, I could name some where those wives have been a detriment. Whose wives have been a pain in their side, who have caused them all kind of trouble in the ministry, who have not supported them, who are not interested, who do not participate. And that must be a real burden to have to bear for a man to have the call of God to preach and want to serve the Lord and have a woman who does not support him, who does not understand him, who does not pray for him, who is not committed, who is not involved with him. That must be a real weight to bear. But I'm going to tell you without hesitation or reservation that to have a woman who loves God and who encourages you to do more and to do more and to have higher standards and get more involved and take on more challenges and to know that she prays for you day by day, that she'll stand by you in the things of God, that she'll get involved and she'll do her part. That's a blessing beyond words. That Bible said, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. And that's a real blessing. Well, if you've got a good wife, God's blessed. Amen. But if you've got a godly wife, one that lives right and got a good heart, a heart toward the things of God, that's a blessing beyond compare. God Almighty has picked you out and singled you out for special treatment if you have got a godly wife. There are a lot of men who have good women for wives, and I'm certainly not putting them down. But boy, if you've got one that loves God and wants to help you and wants to encourage you, you're blessed. You're blessed beyond all measure. God blessed with salvation. God blessed with a godly wife. God blessed with a call to preach. Now, I didn't think so years ago. If you heard me preach the very first time, of course, you may still agree. I don't know. But see, it bothered me then. I don't care now. But I preached my first message. I had a card. It was about this wide and about that long. And I typed it. I preached on a little passage over in the book of Acts, and I had 15 or 16 points. I had it full on this side, and I had it full on the back side. And I had all kind of things I wanted to say, and I rehearsed it for hours and hours. I went over it. I knew it inside out, backwards and forward. I knew it verbatim. I knew every illustration. I knew when to shout, when not to shout, when to cry, and when not to cry. I knew all the right stuff, see? And the preacher said, Brother Bob, said, why don't you preach for us Wednesday night? I couldn't wait. I got up to preach. I lost my voice. That's because I lost my nerve. I've never been so scared in my whole life. I thought my heart was literally going to jump out of my chest. And in 7 minutes flat, I was through. Now that's certainly changed. I don't know what I said or didn't say. I don't know. I just don't have a clue. My wife was sitting there on the front row going, and I knew it was bad. And I could see in her eyes, are you sure God called you to preach? I'd never done any public speaking. I didn't have any education. I dropped out of high school in 10th grade and joined the Navy. I didn't have any education, didn't have any training, hadn't been saved long, didn't know much about the Bible. I don't know why in the world I thought I was going to preach. Except God put it on my heart. And I'm not going to give you all the story about how He called me and I ran for a year and about destroyed our home and everything else. But there was a year there. There was a year from hell. Because God wanted me to preach and I didn't want to preach. And me and God had a falling out about that thing. I was ready to quit rather than preach. But I finally gave in. And then I preached and I wish I hadn't given in. And everybody else wished I hadn't given in. It's really bad. Preaching was scary. It was terrifying. I remember when I first started preaching, I'd get a message. I'd be in my car going someplace and I'd see somebody's face in the windshield. And I'd get a thought and I'd single that sucker out. And boy, you're talking about pointed preaching. I mean, I'd write to that one face in the windshield. I'd preach to them, boy. I'd be rail on them and point out every fault and tell them how to fix it and what God was going to do to them if they didn't get right about it. Now, it's one thing to preach to them in the car. It's another thing to have to write. I would study for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours to get one message and preach it in 15 minutes. Now, it don't take quite so long, but it takes longer to get it said. Over the years, I don't know if I've become a better preacher or a better student, but I do know this. I have learned to love to preach. You don't have one of those preachers who will let somebody else come in and preach for them at the drop of a hat. I know all kind of pastors, any passing missionary, any passing anybody, they'll let them preach. I hate it when somebody else preaches. We have Brother Castle and I pray for him to get laryngitis every night. You think I'm joking, don't you? I don't. I wish he'd bring his crowd and let me preach to them. I dream about preaching. My favorite dream, does anybody here have a recurring dream? I got one. Well, actually, I got two. One where I can fly. And I'm still working on that one. But the other one, my favorite dream, and I dream it over and over again. I'm preaching in New York City. I'm on the top of the Empire State Building where King Kong once resided. Down in the streets, there are the vast millions of the city. I'm preaching and somehow they can hear. And they are under conviction. And I've got Jack Hiles and Bob Gray and all them guys are down doing personal work. And I'm having the biggest revival the world has ever seen since Jonah went to Nineveh. You say, preacher, you pipe dreaming. Yeah, but ain't it great? I just love it, man. The more folks you got, the better I like it. Amen? I like preaching to big crowds. You know why? Because they need to hear what I got to say. It's not a preacher. Listen, if I didn't believe that, I'd quit preaching. If I didn't believe that people needed what God puts on my heart, I wouldn't preach. Of course I think you need it. I think everybody needs it. I want to preach it to the world. I preach every chance I get. I just don't get many chances anymore. Most folks have heard me, won't have me back. But don't bother me, I still like to preach. I enjoy it. I look for excuses to preach. A fellow from the Army called me Thursday night. Must have been Thursday night because we went home Friday night. Thursday night. And he said, preacher, he said, we're going overseas for 3 weeks. He said, and the men came to me and said, can you get Dr. Hensley? I said, I'll be there. What time? I got over there this morning. I was supposed to preach at 8:30. And this typical army, they was running behind. They didn't get ready till 10 after 9. He said, "Do you want to leave?" I said, "Nope. I came to preach." I said, "Are you going to cut my time short or I get the whole thing?" He said, "Take as much as you want." I said, "Okay." So I preached. Amen. A fella called me the other night wanting to know if I've been preaching over at the prison. Every month that has a fifth Sunday in it, I get the fifth Sunday. And anytime somebody gets sick or lays out, they call me because they know it. They can call at the last minute and I'll go preach. And so he called me up and he said, "Listen." And this is what the guy told me. He said, "The prisoners came and wanted to know if I would call you and get you to come preach every month." I said, "Well, I'll have to pray about it." I didn't tell him. I said, "Sure." He said, "Well, now," he said, "I can get somebody to take Sunday." I said, "I don't want you to get nobody to take Sunday. I want Sunday too. I'll take Monday," I think it's Monday night I got, "and Sunday." I said, "I'll take them both." Say, "Why?" "Because I like to preach. I like to get up and talk about how good God is and how great a blessing God has been and how you ought to serve Him and how you ought to love Him and how faithful He is and how He's going to take you home to glory, how He can make your life better, how He can put joy in your heart. I like to preach. I enjoy getting up and telling folks about my Savior and what a great blessing He's been for 27 long years." I just like it. You might not, but I do. I can preach it for you anyway. God bless me with a call to preach. Then He blessed me with a church. Now that's hard to believe for somebody like me. When you preach like I do, the very idea that somebody will come back repetitively and listen to you is a great blessing to your heart. I've overheard people and heard people and been told by people that you're too pointed, that you're too obnoxious, that you're too opinionated. You always think you're right. You think it's always got to be done your way. You're a dictator. I'm probably guilty of all that stuff. But it's the only way I know how to do it. Hey man, that's the only way. I don't know how to do it any other way. And as a matter of fact, I kind of got to where I like it this way, and I don't want to do it no other way. And to think that somebody would come back and listen and actually get something out of it and get a blessing from it is a real blessing in my heart. So I'm thankful to Almighty God that He blessed me with a church, with some people whose hide is tough enough to keep on coming back and say, "Glory to God, preacher, we like it like that." It's a blessing. God knows we run off enough through the years. If we had all the people who have come over the years, this building wouldn't be big enough. It wouldn't. It wouldn't be anywhere near big enough. You say, "Well, where are they all at, preacher?" Well, they all say, "Preacher, we want to go, we want a church where they just preach it red hot all the time. We want it gun barrel straight. We don't want nobody that'll kid around. We want it just right down the middle, boy. Just preach the Bible. Preach the whole Bible." So we do. And after two or three messages or after a month or so, something hits them right between the eyes they don't like and they don't come back. My wife said, it's been a long time since she said this, but she said, "Couldn't you say the same thing and just say it a little nicer? Do you have to make everybody mad? Do you have to run everybody off? If I do it any other way, it's not me. If you say it any other way, it doesn't have the same bite. If I say it so that it's not offensive, it doesn't hurt your heart either. If it doesn't offend your sensibilities, it doesn't disturb your conscience. That's why you've got thousands upon thousands upon thousands of churches across this country where the preacher stands in the pulpit and everything that guy says is right. And nobody's life changes. Nobody gets right. Nobody gets closer to God. Nobody ever gets upset. Nobody is ever motivated to change. They never get aggravated. They never get mad. They never feel compelled. They never feel pushed. No. This is the only way we know how to do it. And we're going to keep on doing it. We've been doing it this way ever since we've been preaching. When I first got saved and started preaching, I experimented. I can preach just like Jack Hiles. I ought to. I bought all of his tapes, copied all of his sermon lines, got all of his mannerisms, and preached all of his messages. But it just wasn't me. I could preach like Peter Ruckman, except I can't draw. I do stick men. I've listened to Bob Gray. I can mimic Bob Gray pretty good. But it's just not me. I'm thankful to God. God is blessed that He gave me a church where I can be myself. Where I can preach what's on my heart. Where I can deliver my conscience of what God puts in my mind. That's a blessing. I know a lot of preachers that want to say things, but they feel compelled to tone it down and hold it in and hold back. They're afraid to say this or that or the other because somebody's going to get offended or leave or ask him to leave. Well, you can't make me leave. See, I wrote the Constitution. And I wrote it and I wrote me in. Now, after I leave, the next guy that comes along, you can get rid of him. But you ain't got no control over me. I made sure of that. You think I'm kidding, don't you? You better read that thing. I'm here. You can leave, but you can't make me leave. If we have a disagreement, I'll tell you who's going out the door. So if you come here, you know what you have to do? You have to like the preaching. That's our main thing. That's the main forte. We are not going to get sidetracked on other things. We like the singing. We like the youth work and all that. And we want it to grow and we want it to prosper and we want it to be a help. But if it ever detracts from the preaching of the Word of God, we're going to get rid of it. I don't care what it is. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them to believe. He blessed me with a church. He blessed me with Christian friends. Now, not many. Don't misunderstand. He didn't give me a lot of friends. But He gave me some good ones. Do you know what a blessing it is to have people that you really, really believe you can count on? That really care about you? You know, there are people who go through their whole life and never have anybody that they think is a friend. They say, oh, these are my friends, this is my friend. What they mean is acquaintances. My pal. I'm not about a friend. Somebody that will stick with you through the hard times. Now, I don't have many of those, but I got some. And they're a blessing. And when you got a personality like mine, it's a real blessing. You say, well, preacher, who are your friends? Well, I don't want to name them all. I wouldn't want to embarrass them. I think I got some friends in this room. I really do. Some real friends. But there's a black fella up in Virginia. You don't believe I said that, do you? So I don't hate blacks. I just think we ought to be separate. The Bible teaches that. And this black guy believes that. But that black guy is probably as good a friend as I ever had. I believe I could pick up my telephone tonight and call him up and say, brother, I need this or this or this. Or can you come? And 10 hours from now, that fella will be down here. That old boy loves me. That's amazing. It's a blessing. And he has been faithful down through the years. And when he gets up against it and has a hard time, you know what he does? He picks up his phone and he calls me. I'm his spiritual advisor. He still thinks I'm his pastor. Hadn't been his pastor in 15 years. That's a blessing. One of the nicest letters I ever got in my life, I got from this fellow's daughter when she was 15 years old. Wrote me a letter and told me what my preaching meant to her life. You just have no idea what that did for this preacher. It's good to have real friends. Amen. That's a blessing from God. Now, all those are introductions. This is number 6, and I have it subdivided. And we talk about God blessing. He blessed me with salvation. Blessed me with a godly wife. Blessed me with a call to preach. Blessed me with Christian friends. But you know one of the greatest things God ever did for me? He blessed my heart. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? When I say God blessed my heart, when I got saved, God put something in my heart that helps me to rejoice and to enjoy the things of God. I know a lot of folks that are saved. I really believe they're saved. I really believe they're saved. But they don't enjoy God. They don't enjoy church. They don't enjoy Christian fellowship. They don't enjoy Christian music. I mean, they can take it, you know. They can listen to it. But it's not the motivating thing in their heart. It's not what they live for. I don't care what color he is. If he can preach, I can listen. Matter of fact, boy, I almost invited a black preacher down here. That old boy stirs my heart. There's a black preacher up in Kannapolis up there. What's that guy's name? I can't remember. But man, that boy can preach. I mean, and he studies. He's not ignorant. I mean, it's not stupid. This old boy preacher, he's got a message. He's got an outline. He's got something to say. He believes in separation. He preaches to them young people all the time. I mean, boy, he gets down on them for their drinking and the way they dress and their premarital sex. And all. I mean, this guy, I mean, he's just gun barrel straight. I listen to him on the radio and I'm saying, preach it to him, buddy. Sick of him. Say that again, boy. Park right there a while, preacher. I like it. I started to have him down here. I don't know how thin skinned you folks were. That's not true. If I'd have wanted to have him, we'd have had him. But I did think about it, and then God laid somebody else on my heart. But my heart rejoices in the things of God. I like preaching. I can listen to it on the radio. I can listen to it on tape. I listen to it in person. If a guy can preach, boy, I mean, it stirs my heart. You say, well, you've heard that same old stuff over and over. I know, but I still like it. I've kissed my wife a million times, but I'm going to kiss her again. You say, why is that? I like it. My heart rejoices in the things of God. I like to go to a camp meeting. I can go for a whole week, man. They can start at 8:30 in the morning and preach till lunchtime and go get a bologna sandwich and a soda pop and come back at 1 o'clock and preach till 7 o'clock and go get 2 hamburgers and a Milky Way and a Mountain Dew and come back at 8 o'clock and preach till midnight. And I enjoy it. So how many days? I mean, as long as they want to preach, I go on Monday and stay through Saturday. So what do you like about it? Oh, man, I like them get up there and give them testimonies. I like for them to get up there and sing all them songs. I like them to get up there and preach. I like seeing them people out in the audience get all excited and throw their coat in the air and throw song books in the air. You say, what's that got to do? I don't know, man. It's a lot of fun. I just like it. Where is it? I can't meet one time and had this real dignified little old lady there. She must have been 80 years old. She was a day. And I bet she didn't weigh 100 pounds soaking wet. A little old teen 90 thing. Had on a little old black dress, you know, and just real prim and proper, real classy looking woman. All week long, boy, she'd been real reserved. Just put her little hand up, you know, and every now and then you could hear a little amen or praise God out of her. But boy, on Friday night, I don't know what happened, but something got a hold of that woman. All of a sudden, that little old bitty lady who'd been all dignified and reserved and everything all week, man, that red songbook went up in the air about 30 feet. She let out a war whoop, and down the middle aisle she went like a bullet. And that little old lady run around the building about 3 or 4 times. Said, what happened? I don't know. But it was great, man. Had 2 or 3 copycats follow her. I like that stuff. I remember one time we was at a camp meeting, and they had this couple that sang the Mondays, Jerry Mundy and his wife. Can't remember what her name was. He was ugly and she was too. And he couldn't sing. I remember that. And they got up to sing. It was in the morning service. And they got up and they were singing some dumb song, you know. And in the middle of the song, there's a place where you take a little break. And when they start to take the break, she gave a testimony. And that woman standing there, and she gave it, and honestly, she hadn't rehearsed it. And I don't think she had planned it. She just started to give a little testimony, and it just got a little big. But she got talking about how her husband, who can't preach a lick, had surrendered to the ministry. And he was going into full-time evangelism. I said, Lord, there's two people going to starve to death right there. But she's talking about her husband surrendered to the ministry. He was going in full-time evangelism. And they'd had to sell their house and all to get out of debt and so they could get on the road. And the house they had to sell was her old home place. Her family had been there for three or four generations. And they had a bunch of acres and stuff. They had a bunch of money. But they sold that thing so he could go on the road and preach and sing. And it was really bothering her because she had to sell the family house. And they'd gone on the road, and they'd gone about 6 weeks, and they come back, and it was time to go sign all the papers and all that stuff. And when they was looking through there, she noticed that there was a little plot right in the middle of the property that wasn't included. It was supposed to be, but it wasn't there. So she asked the man that was buying it. And this old fellow looked over and said, Miss Mundy, and this guy wasn't a Christian. He said, Miss Mundy, he said, I know that's your old home place. He said, and something just bothered my heart. He wouldn't say the Lord laid it on his heart because he didn't know the Lord. He said, but something bothered my heart about that. And he said, and I deeded that house and the property right around it back to you for free. And she was telling that, and she got to crying and carrying on. Man, God got in that place that morning, and you wouldn't believe what a meeting we had. I mean, it was just so spontaneous. People were weeping and crying and praising God. Does your heart not ever rejoice in the Lord? I mean, things just fill you up inside and well up inside. You just can't keep it to yourself anymore. I was down at a place called Willamette Industries the other day. And there's a lady down there named Kathy McKay. She's a Southern Baptist lady, but she's a sweetheart. And I get to talk to her about the Lord and stuff. She'll talk about the Lord anytime. And we was talking about gospel singing and all that kind of stuff, you know. And I thought, talking to him, it's just a blessing to have somebody that wants to talk about God. Somebody that you can talk to about the things of God and just let it out. I was talking to her about gospel singing, and I got to thinking about a song. There's a song. So that's by the Cathedral Quartet. Glenn Payne sings it, called Once Upon a Hillside. It's kind of a slow song. And it talks about once upon a hillside, people were gathered, and what they'd come for was the bread. And then once upon a hillside, people were gathered, and they'd come to see the miracles. And then the third verse is once upon a hillside, and it's Jesus getting ready to go back to the Father. And old Glenn Payne was 67 years old when he recorded that song. And he gets down to the last verse. And of course, this thing is building. The intensity and all this is building to a crescendo. And when he gets down to that last verse about once upon a hillside, and it's time for him to go back. But the last line is, but he left them this promise. I'll come back again. And that old man hits the high note. And he got it. I mean, he hit it. Every time I hear that song, he left them this promise. Don't that rejoice your heart? He's coming back. I said, glory to God. I mean, that old man sings that song, 67 years old, and he gets down there, and with all the power he's got in his body, with all the talent he can muster, he belts that thing out. He's coming back. Your heart rejoices in the thing of God. It's a blessing to have a heart that rejoices in the things of God year after year after year after year. Rejoices in the singing. Rejoices in the testimony. Rejoices in the preaching. You say, why don't you like all them gospel music things so much? Because, man, you get to shout.
Amen.
How in the world can you not go to them things and get all filled up inside? Here, the other night they had Phil Cross and them boys up there. That's the ugliest quartet in gospel music. They are uglier than the McCamies. And every one of them is bald-headed. Matter of fact, he said the other night, he said, you're looking at the less hair than any other quartet in America. I mean, they're all bald-headed. Got a tremendous amount of talent, though. And they got up to sing that song, His Love is Full of Grace and Glory. Man, if you're saved by God's grace, that thing will get a hold of you. It's kind of up-tempo, upbeat, you know. It moves. And boy, you get to singing it with them. I can sing it everybody as good as they do. In my mind. That thing stirs you. You go to one of them concerts and listen to them guys sing for an hour and a half and sing them songs like Redeem, or go and listen to Kurt Talley sing those songs. He's got that thing about the husband and wife, you know, he dies and goes on to heaven, and it's talking about leave a mark in the sand for me to follow. Whew. Yeah, we went to a camp meeting one time, and this old boy sat right beside me all week. And every time something would be real good, he'd sit with his he'd sit like this all week long, and right on the edge of his chair. And every time something would be real good, he'd go, "Whew, glorious!" I just love that. Say why? Because it was glorious. That's why. I heard a preacher down in Mississippi one time. And I can't remember that little boy's name. He was a missionary from Mexico. But he'd get to preaching. He'd get excited about his own preaching. He liked what he was saying. He'd get beside himself, and he wouldn't be able to say nothing. He'd just run over to the edge of the platform. He's tired like this. And he'd just get all excited. He said, "Well, preacher, that's all food." Yeah, but it shows something's going on in their heart. There's some joy down inside them. There's some life down inside them. They like the things of God. I'm glad my heart can rejoice about the things of God. That's a blessing. I know some people that are saved by God's grace and they got no joy. They got no shout. They got no victory. They're not enjoying it. They're enduring it. I'd about soon be dead as to live like that. I'm saved. I'm in and I can't get out. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to enjoy it till I get home to glory. I am going to rejoice in the things of God. My heart is going to rejoice in the things of God. I'm going to enjoy church. I'm going to enjoy the preaching. I'm going to enjoy the fellowship. I'm going to enjoy the singing. I'm going to enjoy the trip. I'm going to heaven. Amen. God has blessed me. Now, I don't know about you, but I bet anybody else in this room can get up here. And I give you 30 minutes and you can just tell us how God's blessed you. Amen. Might not be the same points I got, but if you've been saved, God has blessed. You say, "Well, preacher, I've had a lot of hard times in my life, a lot of dark streets, a lot of storms." Yeah, but God got you through.
Amen.
It's been a blessing. Could have been worse. You could have went through the storm all by yourself. You could have been alone when trouble came. There could have not been anybody to lean on. But you had God. Ain't that a blessing? My wife and I sing this song. Well, she sings it and I sing with her. Called "In the Dark of the Midnight Have I Oft Hid My Face, While the Storms Howl About Me and There's No Hiding Place." And then it talks about hiding in it. Till the storm passes by. Till the thunder rolls no more. God's a blessing. That song's a blessing. Don't those songs make you rejoice inside? Do me. I think one of the greatest blessings God gave when I got saved was He gave me a heart that rejoices in the Lord. Let's bow. Father, we thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for Your mercy.